Okay, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, our text for today is in that chapter we just read. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the mystery of life, the mystery of death, the mystery of heaven, the mystery of hell, the mystery of iniquity. Today we're going to be talking about the mystery of the devil. Did you know there is a devil? There really is a real live devil. And he's going about, the Bible says, seeking who he can devour, take advantage of. 2 Corinthians 11. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan presents himself as someone that's okay. You go back up to verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Today, Sunday, there'll be many people standing before congregations, and the congregations will think those people are godly men. Paul says many of them will be false, and it's sad that Satan can deceive people so. There is a devil. He's real. He's your enemy. He's had you deceived and me. He can give you just what you want. He can. Think about it. You remember he offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. But Jesus was wise enough to reject his offer. But man, we often are taken in, aren't we? Isn't that what happened to Adam and Eve? If they eat from that tree in the midst of the garden, they'll be like God. They ate, but they sure didn't come like God, did they? Amen? See, Satan's a liar, folks. Satan's a liar. Satan today is stealing the souls of the people of this world, and they don't even know their soul is being stolen. He has them in his grasp, leading them to where he's going. He's a spirit being. He's not tangible. He's a spirit like God, except he's not God. He just wanted to be God. He is the most wicked of all creatures. He is the embodiment of evil. He is called in Scripture the Wicked One. The word devil is in our New Testament 57 times, and the word Satan is found 49 times. The first time he's mentioned is in 1 Chronicles 21:1, and it's surprising the first time who he's mentioned to. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David. The Bible says, to number Israel. Satan enticed David to number the soldiers in Israel, and through pride, David had to pay a price. Satan even deceived David. The following are names of Satan and aliases he uses. First of all, he was known originally as Lucifer, the morning star. in Isaiah 14. He's known as the ruler of the demons in Matthew. Paul said he's the God of this world in 2 Corinthians. Matthew says he's the devil, the accuser. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he's the prince of the power of the air. In 1 Peter, he's called the roaring lion. In Genesis 3, he's the serpent. In Revelation 12 and 20, he's the dragon. In Job 1, he's the adversary. In Matthew 4, he's the tempter. In Ezekiel 28, he's the anointed cherub that covers. In Matthew 12, he's Beelzebub. In 2 Corinthians 6, he's Belial. And in Matthew 13, he is the wicked one. Those are various names ascribed to Satan, the devil, our adversary, our accuser. And he's just as much today as he was when the Bible was written, the same person, the same person. In Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That would be worth marking in your Bible. Satan has deceived the whole world. And his angels were cast out with him. Boy, he's our enemy. He's the enemy of God. But God has plans for him. Amen. Where did Satan come from? I had a professor one time when I was going to college over at Pembroke. He said, God made the devil. God did not make the devil, folks. God's a maker of all things, but he didn't make the devil. The history of Satan is described in Isaiah and Ezekiel. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, Isaiah wrote. How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. Look at the nations of the world today and the condition of them. You know why? Satan. For thou hast said, listen to this, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. There's the problem. You ever thought about angels have hearts too? Interesting that they've got hearts too. He said in his own heart, I will ascend into heaven and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, Satan said. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's his future, the lake of fire. God didn't make the devil. The devil made himself when he rebelled against God. And if you read over in Ezekiel 28, God tells us there how that Lucifer was given the most authority. He was the most beautiful. He had the highest position of any of God's creatures. He wasn't satisfied. Folks, we ought to be satisfied who we are. God has made us who we are. God has placed us where we are because God has a plan for us where he puts us. Satan fell because of pride that originated from his desire to be God. Pride will ruin you. How many people will be in hell because of their pride? Pride is destructive. God hates. It's the chief sin God hates. Lucifer did not want to serve God. Do you want to serve God? If you don't want to serve God, you're just like Lucifer, the devil. Lucifer didn't want to serve God, and look what happened to him. He got demoted fast, didn't he? He got thrown out of heaven. If you do not want to serve God, it will not end up good for you either. Oh, there's a lot of people today that don't want to serve God, and they don't serve God. And many of them are millionaires, billionaires. They're famous, they're popular. People like them, but hey, they haven't got to the last row yet. When they get to the last row, they're going to realize how deceived they were. Satan is the leader of the fallen angels and the demons. And there are demons that enter into people and wreck their lives. And these demons can affect people in various ways. They can make them sect perverts. They can make them have all kind of deformities. They can make them murderers. Demon control people. Now, I think we're seeing a lot of that in, but just read the newspaper or listen to the news today, what all's going with children killing their parents and parents killing their children. And it's not safe to hardly even talk to a stranger anymore because of what that person may be and his goal or aim. However, let me share this good note. Satan nor his demons cannot do anything unless God allows it. Isn't that good news? You don't, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have to fear the devil. He's already been defeated. Praise God. He's defeated. And you can live your life not fearing him, but loving God and serving God, because God's going to look out for you. In Ephesians chapter 6, 12 through 13, it talks about our defense as a believer. Here's your defense. Put on the whole armor of God. People in the military, when they go to the front of the battle, they have all their weapons. They have all their gear that they're going to need to engage the enemy. God has told us how that we can protect ourselves. Put on the whole armor of God. Because the devil's going about seeking who he can get of you Christians. He wants to take away your testimony. He wants to take away your effectiveness. He wants you to be put aside where God can't use you. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. Satan masquerades around as an angel of light. In 2 Corinthians 11, 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He makes himself appear to be the real deal. He does that in order to deceive. So I'll just use this illustration. Everybody comes along holding one of these books like this is not of God. Our radios and television and pulpits are full of such today. And the Bible warns it be that way. And yet gullible people support them and attend to them and believe in them. Satan does this to deceive, just as he deceived Eve in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. Jesus himself testified of Satan's existence. During his ministry, Jesus personally faced temptation from the devil in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. You can read that account when Satan confronted Jesus, trying to get him to disobey God, trying to get Jesus to satisfy himself, and Jesus wouldn't give him that delight. During his ministry, Jesus cast out demon-possessed people, or cast demons out of people. In Luke 8, 27 through 33, is a case. Jesus defeated the evil one and his legions of demons at the cross. When I saw the movie about Christ in a few years ago, and Jesus was on the cross, and when he died, they showed Satan and they showed him as a woman. They had him all fixed up. But when Jesus died on the cross, this person that appeared as Satan, the devil, he gave out the most eerie scream. Why? Because he just had been defeated. Christ. See, he tried to keep Christ from that cross all the way from Adam and Eve. He did everything he could to break that messianic line, to stop the Messiah from coming. But you can't stop God, folks. When God has planned something, you can't stop him. Not even Satan could stop him. And when Christ died on the cross, he broke Satan's power. Satan is a defeated foe, and now you don't have to fear him. You can love God and serve God, knowing that you belong to the Lord, and God's in control. Amen? What a comfort to know today. What a great comfort to know today. With Jesus Christ on our side, we need not fear Satan and his limited power. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, listen to this. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, that is Christ, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You see, Jesus coming and taking form of a human being, that was the way he would defeat Satan. He delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. War to be wise in resisting Satan. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, Paul wrote. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Think about this. We're charged to bring every thought into captivity. Control our thoughts. The Bible says to the obedience of Christ, we're to watch our thought life. Because you let your thoughts ramble, it can lead you into a path of disobedience. And a path you'll regret. Satan, subduction versus reality. In our scientific, rational age, spiritual beliefs are scorned as myth. We got a justice that might be picked for the Supreme Court, a lady. She's already been scrutinized one time several years ago, but she might be Trump's pick. We don't know yet. We're to find out tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. But she's a Catholic, and she's a very devout person. And she has been ridiculed, belittled, made fun of because of her belief in the Bible. She seems to be a real believer in Jesus Christ. Folks, people don't respect Christians no more. We're bigots. We're to be scorned. We're haters because we don't approve of the lifestyle of some people. We're haters. We're troublemakers. And even businesses now are not welcoming people that take a stand for the Lord. Folks, it's going downhill around us today. The rapture is drawing nigh. I personally believe God is setting it up to have everything going along real good, like everything's going with the economy, and everybody's, you know, just prospering, and this other side is just hating everything that's good so bad, and suddenly the righteous will be snatched out, and God's going to let them have what comes from the seven-year tribulation. They didn't want Christ. They didn't want Christians around. Now they're on their own, and it's going to be doom. I can see it. Because in the days of Noah, God said that's where it's going to be. Wickedness everywhere. Satan is more powerful than us humans. You better not think you can outsmart him either. But God is our refuge. Amen. God's our refuge. God's our hiding place. We belong to God. He's our protector. The Bible says we're being kept by the power of God if we've really believed in Jesus Christ. At the Lord's rebuke, Satan and his demons shudder and fear, flee. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. Thou also, the devils also believe and tremble." Just believing there's a God don't give you salvation. A lot of folks think, "Well, I believe in God, I'm going to heaven." No, you're not. Even the devils, demons, believe that. They know there's a God. Hey, Jesus is the Savior, folks. You got to believe in God's Son. God says, if you reject my Son, I reject you. God's Son is the one that paid the sin debt. You got to accept the one that paid for your sin. Then God will be your Father because He'll adopt you into His family. Amen. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Jude 1:9, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee." You don't need to get in a discussion with the devil, because the devil can outthink you and outfox you. You just turn the devil over to the Lord. He'll take care of him. Amen. I tell you what, the devil's the devil, folks. When Jesus died, he overcame all the powers of darkness. It's amazing that what was accomplished on that cross for us. Jesus broke Satan's power. He's defeated now. His end is certain now. Revelation chapter 20 makes it very clear. Colossians 2:15 says, "And having spoiled principalities in power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Colossians 2:15. Jesus Christ is the victor. Amen. He's the victor. Only in the authority of Jesus does anyone have the power to stand against the devil. Only in the power and authority of Jesus. Those saved from sin by Jesus' death on the cross are protected. Listen to this. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We are protected. We're God's. Amen? Those who are not saved from Satan's power will perish with Satan in the lake of fire. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. "Be sober, Christians. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He's on the hunt for Christians that he can rob their testimony, that he can disrupt their life and injure their faith. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. This wicked one, Satan, is the most evil of all creatures that there is. He's a head honcho, we would say. He is the embodiment of evil. All evil comes from him. Satan cannot read our minds. Only God can read your mind. Satan can't do that. However, Satan has observed you to know about what you'll do, because he observes. He knows human nature. And his tactics are deceptive. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." A lot of the problems you and I face day after day is from the demonic forces coming against us. Satan knows our weakness. Lust, pride, greed, selfishness. Satan's watched you enough to know all about you and me. He knows where he can get you at. And you're not smarter than him, and neither am I. Satan knows if he can keep you out of church, you will be weak and unspiritual. Satan knows if he can keep you busy with things, you will not read your Bible. Satan knows if he can keep you from praying, you will not be useful to God. Satan knows if you are worldly, you will not be a strong witness for Jesus either. And these are the ways he attacks Christian people, to distract us, to keep us from being the people God wants us to be. God wants us to be a holy, spiritual people, loving him, serving him, obeying him, But Satan, our enemy, is going to do everything to keep us from being what God wants us to be. And we all fall for him. This Christian life, listen, I don't ever miss church unless I'm in the hospital. And I still have a battle. So what about these that hardly ever go to church? Huh? I stay in this book every day. But the devil does all he can to try to mess up your life, distract you. He's the devil, folks. And he don't let up. If you think he's let up on you, it's because he's going around the other direction to get you from the other direction. Are you a Christian? Then what are you doing for Jesus Christ? What are you actually doing? Satan will cause many believers to have few, if any, rewards when they get to the judgment seat, because he hates God, and if he can distract you as a Christian, he's spiting God. And if he can keep a man or a woman from believing on Christ, he's spiting God, because he hates God. God threw him out. He couldn't match God. Now he's mad at God. Well, he can huff and puff because he's got a long time to huff and puff. Amen? The unsaved. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 1:5-8. Satan knows if he can keep people away from church, they will likely not get saved. Because you know why that's true? Because it's the gospel, the power of the gospel, that can save a person. It ain't the preacher. It's the gospel. And if they don't hear the gospel, they ain't going to get saved. You have to hear the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation unto them that believe. What is the gospel, preacher? It's about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Son of God, who died for me, for you, for all who will believe in him. And if you don't hear it, you ain't going to get saved. That's not good English, but it's still the truth. You're not going to get saved if you stay away from the gospel. When you hear the gospel, then the Holy Spirit will take it and start working in your heart, dealing with your heart, saying, hey, you're that sinner. But you say, oh, sometime later, I'm not ready yet. And the Holy Spirit still said, yeah, you need to repent. You need to get saved. Oh, God's not going to make you get saved, but God will keep nudging you, convicting you, working, trying to get you to see, hey, you need salvation. Your sins condemn you. Satan knows if he keeps people interested in this life, they will not have time for God. Oh, look at the trinkets we got today. I tell you what, I see people so poor, they're so poor, and they got one of them nice cell phones. Or not a cell phone, what they're called, smartphones. And they can't even afford a bicycle. People is occupied with this world, and their soul is being dragged down by the devil to hell. Satan hates God and he spites God by deceiving people. Oh, he's the devil, folks. Boy, he was named right, wasn't he? Satan's goal is to keep as many people as he can from getting saved. Not because he's got anything against the people. He's got it against God. And he just wants to damn as many as he can. Satan likes it when people have religion now. Oh, he likes that. He permits that. You can be a good Baptist or a Catholic or a holiness without being saved. Satan likes that. Religious but lost. Religious but lost. Like Herod, almost thou persuadest me. Almost won't let you into heaven. Almost, it's not enough. Lord, I was going to get saved. Not good enough. Today's the day of salvation, Paul said. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Are you unsaved? Don't allow Satan to steal your soul. He don't want it. He just don't want you to go to heaven. Isn't that something? The devil don't want you. He just don't want you to go to heaven. Be not deceived. Paul said, Galatians, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, the law of spiritual and reaping is true, folks. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. You live for the things of this world, you're going to wind up on the short end of the stick. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. How committed we are to the Lord will determine if we are believers, the rewards that we get. I'm afraid there's a lot of people, they just might be saved, but that's all. They just believe in Jesus as their Savior, and that's as far as they ever go. Isn't that a shame? That Christ died to keep their soul out of hell, and they don't appreciate the Lord no more than that. Think about it. What if you were right now standing on the brink of being thrown into hell? What about it? What if you were about to be thrown in? That's happening to people. One day, God in His grace erected a cross out on Calvary. God not only put a cross up out there, but He took the most precious thing He owned, His Son, His darling Son, and He put His Son on that cross. For sinners. Sinners like me. You. Sinners whose hearts are desperately wicked. Yet God didn't even hesitate. He didn't even hesitate, church. But He was willing and loving us so much. Loving us so much, He'd surrender His Son to that cross. And then we can't live for the Lord? Are y'all listening to me? And we can't live for the Lord? We can't give the Lord our all? When He gave us His all. He gave us His all. And if you would give your all, you'd be so much happier than you are now. You'd be more satisfied. You'd have unspeakable peace and joy. Have you give all? Give all, or you'll shortchange yourself. May God speak to hearts. Loving God, thank you for warning us of the devil who seeks to steal our blessings. Lord, help us as the body of Christ to share this gospel, because only the gospel can get people saved from their sin that condemns them and release them from the devil that's dragging them down to hell where he's going. Lord, help us. Lord, we're helpless. Lord, stir up our hearts to give all of ourselves to serve the Lord, to share the Lord. And to you be the glory forever, 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 forever. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Lord, speak to hearts. The altar's always open. The altar is always inviting the saints to come and talk to the Lord. Bring your request to the Lord, the Bible says.